Today's date is August 18, 1983. I am Peg Corsmo Kennan interviewing Mrs. Marion Moe in the home of Angie Wicklow in Waseca. It's going, and we can put that over there. Maybe we should start with some just background information as to where you were born and when.
I was born in Eagle Lake, Blue Earth County, Mankato. My father was the agent for the Northwestern Railroad there. And Eagle Lake was noted to be the strawberry
captain
of the world.
And that's not very far from here at all.
No. And they shipped out more strawberries on the Chicago Northwestern. They spotted a car there, and they loaded them and pulled them out. And I remember that very much.
Hmm.
And the railroad went through there, and they nicknamed it Fiddlersville.
Oh, that's interesting. How come?
Because the old folks would sit down there in this, by the stores and play the fiddle. So when they do that and the freight train would go by, the brakeman's got up and danced a jig on top of the boxcars.
Oh, what a sight.
So that's then I moved from there to Sanborn.
So what year were you born in, if I may ask?
1897.
Oh my, you don't show your age.
I was born in December 1897.
And then, how old were you when you moved to Sanborn?
I was only in the first grade of school. It was about 6 to 7.
So that was around 1903, right in there?
1903 or 4, something like that. Let's see, my brother was born in 1900. Oh, yes, it was 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. So why did you move to Sanborn?
Well, they bid in the jobs, just like they do. Did when I was through. I don't know what happens now, you know. But he bid in the job, and he got that job. And then they had two depots, freight depot and a passenger depot. And then he bid in the Tracy job. So we moved to Tracy. That's the railroad life.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to Tracy, and my dad bid in the Zumbrota, Minnesota, down to Rochester, spur from Rochester. In 1908, in the fall, but Mother and I didn't go till 1909. And then from there, he was elected general chairman for the Order of Railway Telegraphers for the Chicago Northwestern System. And so then we moved to Chicago with Wilmette. Their head offices were in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
because he had to travel all over the United States, practically mostly west. And he was gone a lot. And my mother was an arthritic. She was an invalid. And she wasn't happy, so we came back to Winona.
Was that where she was from, or she was from
Minnesota? My mother was from Porter, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a Winona product.
And your last name, your maiden name was Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your father's name was, what was his first
Edward.
Name?
Edward.
Edward. And mm-hmm. your mother's?
And my mother was Hattie.
Hattie.
Mm-hmm. And my dad worked for the, which one was it? One that, there was a little railroad in there that went across the river, and he was a telegrapher, mm-hmm. and he worked there.
And is that how he started out?
Yes, uh-huh. Well, his sister was a telegraph manager at Winona.
Hmm.
She was a telegrapher, and she taught him.
Oh, so he kind of did an apprenticeship with
mm-hmm.
his sister.
And when Dad came to, when he was at Sanborn, he had two a spur, another branch of the Northwestern. He had that to contend with too, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when he went to Tracy, well, they took the switch engine off, so he was the agent, and he ran the switch engine lots of times. Mm-hmm. Right, with the switch engine. And when we came back, I gave Joe a picture of little engine 25 between Rochester and Zumbrota.
And what line was that on?
The Chicago Northwestern.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to make sure. And what significance was the little engine 25? Was that
My experience, when my brother was born, I turned and I was my father's girl. And so whatever he knew, I had to know. So I started there by delivering the express and the telegrams, and I had to do the bookwork because he didn't get money, and he only got $60 a month. And that was all day Monday, all day, 6 days a week. And he had to be there at 6:30 in the morning, and he had to be there till the train came back at night, at least 5:30, and if it was late, no extra pay. So I learned all the bookwork. I sold the tickets. Sometimes I had to go down in the morning if he had a load or something, and then he loaded. They had a parked car and a baggage, the in one, and. M.J. Boyle was a superintendent at Winona, and he got permission from him to work on the side and leave my mother and I there to take care of the depot during the day.
How old were you when you started working with him?
I was, right after 1910.
It's about 13.
I was real young. I had baker's chocolate box that I stood on to sell tickets. And I made the ticket reports. I made the express report. When my dad got a relief man, mm-hmm. he says, just call her. I was then a telephone operator.
So how common was it to have the families help out in the depot? Mm-hmm.
You had to have permission mm-hmm. from the superintendent. And MJB, as we called him, and my father is known on the railroad as EJT.
And so it really was a family affair, wasn't it?
Yes, and then when I got older, why then my brother stepped in and took mine, and then I went to work for the telephone company. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go to school because we had to earn money. I went through and started in the first year of high. Mm-hmm.
And what town was this that you worked in the depot? Was that in
Zumbrota?
Zumbrota. That was in Zumbrota.
That I what did you?
That say? You worked in the depot.
Yeah, I worked. I worked there and helped him with under the orders.
So did your brother continue in the railroad work?
Yes, he did. And then the first depression, he was out. He went out to Pierce, South Dakota, and then he was. The job was abolished, and he came back here, and then he went to Ortona, but he didn't follow the railroad then. But when Dad came to Waseca, they took the train master away, and my dad run the conductor brakeman board.
Oh. Now, do you know what he did when he ran the board? What did that mean?
That means that he appointed the men to their jobs according to seniority rights. Mm-hmm. I had to learn all that. So when I would be down there a lot, and so then when Dad got sick, Danny Mahoney mm-hmm. would call me and says, "You got to come down and help me." He says, "I don't know nothing about that board." And Danny Mahoney, my dad taught him telegraphy. And he was born in Waseca, Eagle Lake, too.
Oh, so you knew that family. When did you move to Waseca then? What year was it about?
Oh, dear. I was in and out of here all the time, but I think it was in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
sometime in the 30s.
So you were a grown...
When Sven and I were married.
And, yeah.
And then I came here. We lived over at Elks Park.
Oh, okay. So that brings us to marrying Sven. When did you... how did you meet Sven?
Well, that's a long story, too. I knew Sven as the brakeman. I was a kid, because Sven is quite a bit older than I was. And he broke into Zambroda. And my brother's fifth grade teacher helped him with his English, because Sven was born in Norway.
And can you tell me again what town he was born near?
He was born, it's registered in the Lærdal. He was born in a suburb, Lisney. Uh-huh. And then the community was Mo.
Oh, okay.
It's a history.
And that's in the western part or
no,
the
that,
eastern?
That would be that's south, right south of Oslo.
Oh, okay.
And the engineer John Michelson was born in Vik. That not very long. Vik is not too far by boat on the Sognefjord from where Sven was born. But they never met till they came to America here in the room. And he's an engineer, and on one of those pictures that I give him, they call him Snus Mikkelsen. And I wrote on the back, I've been writing on the back of him, but the one that I didn't want to part with was the old engine 25. A little engineer named Robinson, a fireman named Robinson, he couldn't make the engineer's examination, if I remember right. And he asked me one night, would you like to ride up? I was on the platform waiting to. He says, your dad won't be through. He says, would you like to ride up to the engine, to the roundhouse? They had one little place. And I said, sure. So he put me in his seat on this engine 25, and when we came to the crossing, he says, now you blow the whistle, and I blew the whistle. Now I ring the bell till you get across the crossing, and I rang the bell. And that's my memory.
That's why engine 25 is important.
Engine 25. Uh-huh. And so I went down to see the train when it came, the engine when it came through. This old engine, then the other one is a kind of a large one that, I think it's 1914 on that
photograph.
Their dates are on them.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see those.
They're good.
Yeah.
One is John Michelson, and you know the Rode family here.
Oh, yes.
And one is,
The Hovel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gus Hovel is one of them on there. And on the other one was a... one that I knew real well, Frank Callaghan, but he's been dead for years, and I'm sure you're not familiar with him.
So you were starting to tell me how you met Sven.
And then it was many years, and a girlfriend of mine and I had a cottage out there. I don't know if this is for public or not.
Oh, and this is in Elks Park?
But the Austin Saws had a cottage out there, the attorney. One of them. There was two attorneys, and this is one of them. And they came out, and she says, oh, they're coming out to play poker. And here we were. So we excused ourselves, but not before they introduced us. And Herman Nigg was an engineer. He's a conductor. She sat down, and then Sven says, well, he says, I don't play poker, but can I look on? I says, a railroad man don't play poker. How do you know I'm a railroad man? That's how I met him.
And when was that?
Oh, that was in, I don't remember. It was about a year then before he came. I went out to Watertown, and he came out there to break, or to, he break. You know, he came out to bump somebody. Mm-hmm. But you know, all railroad men had us nicknames years ago. You know that.
Yeah, but I'm real interested in that. What was Sven's?
He was a, I don't know, they called him I don't know what they called him. But they called, because they called, I was trying to think, they called Carl Hansen this big Swede. So I didn't know. Mo, I suppose, I don't know. That's what they call me all over, is Mo or Tommy. Of course, here with Ann, just Tommy. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my nickname for many years, ever since I was a girl.
Uh-huh.
But we went, and we lived out there, and I'm telling you, I went, Carl Hansen and I went in to get swim one night, and we wore a brand new chain out with the snow.
Where was he?
He was just coming in on a run.
So, and you went out to Watertown to work then?
My brother lived out there.
Okay, and you went to?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I stayed out there for a while. Well, it's life.
Yeah. So, when did you marry Swin?
Well, I think it was in June. And I married in my dad's, my here, and I can't remember. It's in the 30s, I think, 36 mm-hmm. or 8 or something.
Right.
I don't have any of that things with me, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And after you married, what town did you live in? Were you still...
With him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when then the Depression came, and he was a brakeman. He got demoted, of course. And then he was about the youngest conductor. Then he moved, we moved to New Ulm. And that's where I met this Arnold Luce that had this little knife.
Okay, uh-huh, yeah.
And, but we were here. Swin had been set up, and we were here when Luce was killed in the Mankato Yard.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl was with him. And when they saw his lantern fly in the air, he says, we knew that was what to look for when we went up there. I think Mark, they called him Snap, Mark Jensen from Sleepy, I think he was with them.
Oh.
And they walked up there.
Was he hit by a car or an engine?
No, the engine.
By the engine.
Mm-hmm. Either the engine, the back of the train, whichever way.
Mm-hmm.
The lantern, he said, flew up in the air, and we knew then that it was the end.
Because there's a lot of danger working in the yards.
You know, years ago, too, that many people don't know, old conductors, real old ones, like Sapp and Curtis and them, they didn't have only part of a hand because they had these couplings that they thickened and sometimes cut it right off. And there was a couple, three of them that had that kind of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a railroad memories.
Yes, you have lots of them. Well, when you were growing up and after you were married, do you remember socializing mostly with railroad families and railroad?
No. Did you? I'm not a mingler.
Uh-huh.
I won't say that I don't associate with them, but I conversed with them.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to them, and they used to have a picnic out there, and they'd get together, not at our place, but it was on there's a little nightclub, Ange owned it.
Oh.
And they had it. They had the picnic there on the ground, in front of that place. And they were all the railroaders come from all over.
Right on the north side of Clear Lake?
Yeah, right at Elks Park.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
When Walsleggers lived then, they were just across the street. And then conductor Joe Miller, that's Lucy's father, they lived up, right up. There was nothing between that and up there.
Oh, her father was Joe Miller, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you could talk about some of the old-time, you've mentioned quite a few names of some of the old-time railroaders. Are there any characters that kind of stand out in your mind or that you could describe as?
Well, I got to know the men during that deal than I did the women.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Buck was one year in service older than Sven was. They call him Shake Hand Charlie.
I love those names.
And Fred Christine, they lived here, the Christines, but he was stationed in Mankato. But they called him the Sparrow.
Did you know
he was little? He was a small fellow. And I just love little Krause. He was the conductor, and he got canned.
Huh.
I felt so bad. And when anybody, there was, Dad called me up out there, and he told me the conditions. They were working over on the Plainview branch, and they got stalled, and they didn't hang a lantern out. And Dad said to us, so they went, they got stalled, and he didn't hang the lantern out. Dad called me up and asked me, he says, what didn't he do? Well, I says, the only thing I can think of is he didn't have the lantern hanging out. That was right. I wrote the rules for about three conductors. They did around about 100 and some things to answer, and there's about three I didn't know when I filled it out. So they was all asking me to fill them out.
Yeah, you probably could have been a conductor yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and the engineers that came over to Zumbrota, I knew, and one of them married my music teacher, one of them, and they moved over there and lived there. Oh, I don't know.
Was Sven involved in the Brotherhood of Railroad Trainmen then?
Yes, he was. He belonged to the union organization.
In Lodge 139 with the Sandborn.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. But it was the conductors. Mm-hmm. You see, the telegraphers and the conductors were two different associations.
Yeah.
My dad was he'd belonged for years. He was so union, it was pathetic.
Yeah. What was the official name of the telegraphers union?
The Order of Railway Telegraphers for the Chicago, General Chairman for the Order of Railway Telegraphers. I'm going to get that letter.
Okay, it looks like some flowers are coming to Angie.
Birthday, and they were married, they would be married 75 years a little later. He was a ticket agent, but they had a sidewire in there. And so I sent him a card for his birthday. Then afterwards I sent it because I knew him, you know. And so you can read it all if you want to. But this is, and I signed it. You can read the whole thing just as far as that's concerned. I signed it to Mrs. Sven Mullen, and then I said, and my father was E.J. Thomas. So you'll get the connection.
Oh, this was just last year.
Oh, yes, yeah. But there was a picture of her in the Winona paper, but it didn't have him, and I think he must be gone.
Oh.
But I sent him a card this year, too, and I didn't have an answer.
Oh, so he talks about your father going to bat for him when
uh-huh.
with the union and a grievance, uh-huh. I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
He had a grievance with the the company.
Because he tells there.
Oh, uh-huh. That I worked that job, including the job as an extra train dispatcher for 11 years.
They had a pet they wanted to put in.
Uh-huh. So it says, in those days, the big shots didn't often say no to E.J. Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I was real proud of that, because I knew he went to bat. They wanted me to go to work. I worked for the Western Union Telegraph Company and as a clerk. I was learning telegraphy at Winona, Ed Heffernan used to be on the railroad here. And they said that he wound up with the Western Union, a district manager. And he said to Dad, Dad met him and he said, where are you going? I sent him over, sent her over to the postal for Date Ralph. He knew him. He said, send her over to the Western Union. And they sent me back, they wanted me to go and relieve him. I said, I don't know. So he wired my dad in Chicago, and I went to, I had to go to Rochester.
And work?
Uh-huh. Oh. And then when the war was, they wanted me to come because they knew my ability as a ticket clerk and things in the, you know, association. And they wanted me to come and work for them as a ticket clerk at Rochester.
Was that in during the Second World War or the First World War?
The Second World War.
Okay.
No, First World War. Because I went there in 19, I was there in Rochester the last year of World War I. And during that time, they wanted my dad wired back, and he says, no, you know, the Northwestern don't hire women, and when you get back, he says, you wouldn't have a job. So I stayed as a ticket clerk.
Huh. When did they change their rules about hiring women?
I don't know. Huh. You see, I've been in and out of the river. But my wind-up was very wonderful. I went down to meet the train. And it didn't come, and I walked down to the bridge. And here was a nicely dressed man, about in his 70s, white shirt and blue pants, and he had a little camera sitting on the edge of the bridge. And I said, oh, are you one of the has-beens? No, he says, I'm a hobo. Now, nobody had that hobo met the train. He says, I'm having a picture of it. And he had told how he traveled on that train because he was from Belchester. That's a little town out of Rochester. Uh-huh. And they go out to North Dakota, South Dakota, and then North Dakota, and then follow the wheat, and then into Apple at Washington.
So was that the train that just went through the
yes.
summer?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, that was something.
And so I got bummed. So then I walked back, and it stopped right in front of me, the observation car. And I said, I'm looking to see if Joe Miller's on there. No, he says, I'm the train master, and he shook hands, and I said, well, I said, I was born railroad, and I'm retired railroad. He said, but just talk to him, and I went over, and I can't remember his first name, but it's Anderson.
Oh, Clicky Anderson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says, I went over, and I said, I thought maybe Joe was the conductor. He says, I'm the conductor. I says, I'm a conductor's widow. He says, what's his name? I said, Swenmo. Oh, my God. He says, I broke for him. I said, that ended it. That was my final railroading.
Uh-huh. Oh, I hear that train might come back in September, the same way it came.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to go.
Yeah, it was an R1 engine, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't know too much about uh-huh. engines, but it was. But the one that I showed, then I showed it to somebody along the way, they talked to me, you know, there, one of the railroad men, and I showed him the picture. Well, this man said, gee, that's an old one. This is got a kerosene light, headlight. He knew it.
Yeah. Yes, I don't know engines very well either, but there are people who just, they see so much more detail than...
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he said, so then I was standing there with a lady, and because I got a heart condition, and I shouldn't have been doing that, you know. And I sat there and I waited, and she waited with me till I got onto my feet again. And a young man came up, and he said, he was on the train because he had a cap like they did. He says, you showed some pictures to somebody. Would you let me see them? I said, sure. And I gave him to, he studied those pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some real, they're all dressed up in their old engineer outfits and things.
I've got the picture that I didn't bring it with me, that was taken in Rochester in the paper.
Oh.
That was real good, and it showed Madigan. Well, I didn't know that Madigan, but I did know his uncles, it must have been his father and his uncle. And the last I knew, Ambrose was living, but I don't know.
Oh, uh-huh.
But this came out in the Winona paper. That ain't it. This is about the doctor here in town that don't let him smoke.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the Winona paper. No, I guess I didn't bring that. Oh, yes, I did do this. No, I didn't either. This is about the railroad, depleting the railroad in... taking that hayfield.
Oh, so they are for sure taking that spur out of hayfield?
Well, they're trying to. They've got it ripped up. There was a picture of it, and mm-hmm. I thought I'd bring it for Joe. Do you want it?
Oh, no, well, you can give it to Joe Connors.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can give that.
I said it maybe, but I don't see much news in the Waseca paper.
Well, how did you get to know the Connors?
That's a long story.
Okay. Well, maybe let me check my tape, and I'm going to flip it over. And
when Swen came out to Watertown, Joe was working out there, Joe Miller, mm-hmm. and Swen came out. So Alpha asked if he could stay because he had a date with me, Swen did. He says, go and get her and bring her out. That was it. And then they moved to Elks Park, and we got very close, and Alpha had multiple sclerosis. And I drove the car for her. She had three children. Mm-hmm. They had three children. And I drove the car for them, and I took them to college. She was always with me. I took them with her oldest girl when she got her appointment for school teacher. When it was, they're very dear to me.
Uh-huh.
And Lucille would come over, and she came over one day, and I was making sunbuckles.
Mmm.
So she ate the crumbs. She got so sick, her brother had to come over and get her in the car. And her brother went down with his bomber.
Oh.
But Hazel is one out there. And I'm going out there after, later on. I went out there for years until I was poorly, that I couldn't travel. I went out every Christmas.
Oh.
And they never let me come home. That's the way with Ange.
Uh-huh.
I have to. I can't go home till she tells me I can go.
Yeah, that's.
So that's. They're just like a family to me. I'm their second aunt.
They stopped by and they brought some of those artifacts that you donated to the museum
uh-huh.
one Saturday. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about the stool. They brought in a stool that Swen used in the caboose. You know, the Joe Connors brought in that little stool. It's painted black over what?
The stool, that's terrible. But my niece, I farmed it out to my niece when I went to Norway. And they went and painted it black, and I couldn't get the darn thing off. A bridgeman, a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
made that for Swen. Out of Norway, out of Chicago, Northwestern lumber. You know, stolen. And so when you see each conductor was assigned a caboose,
mm-hmm.
and that was his. He moved that in his caboose.
So, and he used it to sit on or to
yeah,
work.
Yeah, that was his workbench. Mm-hmm. Sit, and then he had his bed. And but he gave many. His things away. He sold his watch. He sold one of the boys because then they couldn't have wristwatches.
Mm-hmm. They had to have pocket watches.
Mm-hmm. They had to have pocket watches.
Mm-hmm. And one another thing you donated was a switch key.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a brass switch mm-hmm. key that he had.
I don't imagine they use them very much anymore.
I think they have some similar because I remember
and
someone
you mentioned copper. But the rest of them are not copper, is that it?
They're, I don't know if they're made out of brass like they
like
are.
The old ones,
yeah.
Are brass, uh-huh.
So, and the other thing I wanted to see if you could tell me about is, what was the Waseca Depot like during its heyday? You know, now it's just a working depot where the men come in and out, but what was it like when it was a
passive? Well, the freight depot.
Uh-huh. Is that where...
That was the freight depot.
Oh.
And years ago, the train master had his office in the freight depot, too. But we had a train master here, and then they took that up. But there was the waiting room, and then in the middle was the aisle, and you bought your tickets there, and transacted your business, and then it went in there. And then on the other end, and then... there was the switch, the board for the brakeman and conductor's board. And then around in the and back of that was the, they have a kid, I think he was called a cashier, I'm not sure. I know his name so well. Gee. Then he had a clerk too.
Wasn't Madden?
Huh?
Wasn't Madden?
No. Might have been afterwards. But when I was out, I found out one of them, I went out and one of them's wives was living out in Seattle, and I called her up. Oh, she was thrilled.
To hear your voice again and talk to you.
And I can't remember, my memory's failing.
Oh, I don't know about that. Sometimes, you know, when you're asked questions and to recall things that happened.
Yeah, but what, names is the worst for me to remember.
I think you're doing good. when you grew up in your family, now your father really wasn't away, like if he was a road engineer or something, he would have been away.
When he was station agent, he was stationed.
Mm-hmm.
Just what it meant, huh?
Yeah.
But he handled, he was in Tracy and Sanford, he was really an agent. He had other men under him, mm-hmm. but in Zambrota he was alone.
And an agent, what exactly was he responsible for? What did he do from day to day?
Oh, in Zambrota, mm-hmm. they had a first-class creamery there. Mm-hmm. And every day, every night, the cream cans went off and the empties came back. They called it a kind of a Jim Crow car.
A Jim Crow car?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's half passenger and half there. And then all the express, all the telegrams, Western Union came in there. They had, he had to give them their train orders and everything. Mm-hmm. Everything, one man done everything. They aren't like somebody, they got one here doing this and one doing that. And so then he came here, and then afterwards he went to Plainview.
After Waseca?
Yeah.
He went to Plainview. Mm-hmm. And is that where he retired?
After from here, or after, let's see, when he came back, he went to Zambrota, but he didn't stay, he went over to Plainview.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And how long did you actually live in Waseca, or did you live here very long?
I never lived here when Dad was... Dad was agent. He married again, and my mother died, you know. He married again. But old Swen and I had the cottage out there for, I don't know. We left it when we had to go to sleep there. Then we went to Eota from here.
I see.
And he took the two jobs at Eota. They went to Plainview one a certain days in there, and then they come into Rochester and switch. Then an engineer... there goes my memory. He had a heart attack. He got in the they had what they called the hill job. All it did was pull a hill. He got his orders and got in, laid down, and died. And this one said when we went there, he said, "This is our last move." And he come home and he says, "Tommy," he says, "I'm going to bid in the Winona job. You care?" I says, "I have never interfered with what you do. Bid in."
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's an accident, I'd have been responsible. Felt I was responsible. I said, "Why didn't you go to?" I got that kind of good. I said, "How aren't you going to bid in Noelle?" He says, "No." He said, "You know, that's a tricky job." It wasn't 2 weeks, I don't believe, when the conductor over there had his head cut off. To back it up.
So was Swen up a passenger or a freight conductor?
Well, they start, you know, as a brakeman.
Mm-hmm.
They take the test. And didn't I send you the for his promotion?
Mm-hmm.
And he was promoted to conductor. And they run in, they had numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up. But a passenger conductor years ago could not be a freight conductor, could not be a conductor ever. They were a passenger conductor all their life. But then in later years, I understand they were lenient. Now, I don't know how that was because I was out of the commotion. But that I don't, that was it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and he would just he mostly worked with the freight.
He didn't want to go on passenger because mm-hmm. of his brogue.
Oh, he was self-conscious. Mm-hmm.
He had a little, and he had a little, but he had a bad one after he come back from Norway.
How did he get started, you know, when he came over from Norway, how did he get started with the railroad?
He went down to Albert Lee to his cousin. And you know, in Norway, they don't milk. His women do it. So he went down there and his cousin gave him the milk pails and he got mad, he left. And he went out west and he hit the San Francisco earthquake, and he worked out there. Then he went to work on the Milwaukee. Then he came back here, and he took it. And he said Heffernan, or Dickinson, was the train master, and he lived right next door to us. But we didn't know this was going to happen, that I was going to meet him. But when Sven took his, they called him in. They didn't hire anybody. I think it was 21 or something. But Sven was older. And he said to Sven, he says, you know, you're a damn good brakeman. Sven told me this. They're a damn good brakeman. And he says, you're only so old. And you know, he got to live that. Mm-hmm. He couldn't believe, you know, he'd been so long he'd lost contact. And I know the train master from Winona. Sven and my dad, they were scrapping back and forth, you know, my dad liked to pick on them. And he said, he walked over to the car and he says, you know, your husband's one of the best brakemans I got, conductors I got.
Mm-hmm. That's a good compliment.
Yeah. And he told my dad, he says, don't argue with those guys. Dad would argue with them. Don't argue with those guys. Just tell them what to do. My dad said, you want to take all the joy out of my life?
Well, how many years did your dad work for the railroad then? How many years?
Well, I don't know if I can tell you because I don't know what year he died.
Oh, but he worked right up until he died?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when I was helping Dan too, giving him, then they had the bulletin. I don't remember who came or anything. Mm-hmm. Because where was I living? Sven was on the swing job. They had a swing job. Mm-hmm. And he took that and I had to move to Rochester. We had an apartment there.
Well, what's a swing job?
I don't know. A swing job, well, they went up and then they'd have to go out of there and swing to another, or probably over to Yoder or something like that.
So then, they would work out
just
of Yoder
like
for a while?
Just like the hill job on the hill.
Uh-huh. So, and that hill is the Lewiston
Hill. And they went, I don't think they came into here. They came into Old Town, I think.
Uh-huh. So then he'd be away from home for a while?
No, he'd go make a round trip. The engine
would
park right there. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. They had a roundhouse there. Engine wiper. They had to run